The opinions expressed during this program are solely those of the host and guests. They do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, management, staff, or advertisers of WMGQ Magic 98.3.
What's for breakfast this morning? Bagels, bacon and eggs, blueberry muffins. So many delicious choices. But for many children, senior citizens, and adults in New Jersey, they really don't know what they'll be eating, if at all. Food insecurity is a major problem in the state. Hi, I'm Maggie Glynn. Welcome to At Central Jersey. And joining me is the president and CEO of the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, Deborah Vizzi. Deborah, thank you so much for being part of At Central Jersey.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, I have to start with a statistic that I took right off your website, which was shocking to me. And as it says on your website, Did you know 1.1 million people in New Jersey are food insecure? 45% do not qualify for any government assistance. So what do they do? Where is that what you do is help feed all of those people that don't qualify?
We absolutely do. I mean, I think, you know, beyond the statistics that you've seen on the website, you know, the startling fact is that almost half of the folks that come to us for help have someone in their family that's working. So that really does say something, doesn't it?
Shockingly, yes.
Exactly. And, you know, with the prices of real estate and rentals being so high and folks perhaps working a job that's minimum wage or perhaps slightly over that, making ends meet is really tough. And what our families are facing are decisions around, should I buy a meal for my family or dinner for my family and or pay for, let's say, insurance, copay, or if something, you know, goes awry in their family, as most of us have some unforeseen expense,
right?
Then that's carving into their grocery budget. And as a result, people are having to make very hard choices.
And, you know,
and that's where we come in.
Well, and Deborah, you know, you talk about for years, I know in New Jersey, we talked about the working poor. Well, the working poor, I think, reflective of some of these numbers, and please correct me if I'm wrong, are also the working middle class, because the safety net that used to be there, you know, the little savings you had, I think for a lot of people, they really are living month to month or 6 month to 6 month. And when you get those things that you're talking about, those bigger bills that you don't expect, you can really be sunk even if you think, hey, I'm okay, I'm middle class.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I do think that, you know, you bring and you echo a very important point that we at the Food Bank of New Jersey are talking about across the state, which is that both the population that receives services from us is very different than what we image it to be. And secondly, the face of hunger, the face of food insecurity, the face of the malnourished is very different from the images that we traditionally have thought of when we think of hunger as an overseas problem. And, you know, this is probably the first time in the history of our country where you can see an adolescent who's obese be food insecure and or malnourished, which is a very different image than what we traditionally think of when we think of hunger.
Right.
And they can be just as hungry as those children or those adults that we've seen in our, you know, childhood images, and they can be struggling with the same thing. They may just be eating one meal a day that is just heavily laden in fat, through fast food or other, you know, methods of eating.
Right.
And that's
because
the end
it
result.
Is cheaper, because that
exactly.
is cheaper, and that's all they can afford.
That's exactly right. So that may be an issue. There may just be families that can't necessarily provide the type of nutrition that families need. I mean, one of the biggest things that I think most people are much more cognizant of these days is the issue of food allergies, celiac disease, and the connection between food being a social issue and hunger being a health issue. And we certainly see those things in the work that we do every day. And if it costs us double what it would cost us to buy cereal for the average family being, you know, X amount of money. And then when you add a gluten-free product being perhaps double or triple that,
right.
And then you add the nuances of poverty and or limited income, that becomes much more difficult to achieve. So, you know, again, I mean, while the numbers are staggering, you know, what I think we want to really get across to people is we need to do a total paradigm shift around what hunger really is, what it really looks like in your community. And there is not one county in this community that is not touched by food insecurity, hunger, and or what I like to term the sugar highways of the state, where children and or adults are eating, you know, things that are just not healthy for them.
Right. And the other thing, Deborah, I want to touch on two things. One about the gluten-free issue and for the community food bank and soup kitchens to be addressing this now, because for the people who are food allergic or peanut allergic, they get sick if they can't, you know, if they eat these foods. They can get very sick. And to have someone finally recognizing this, I'm sure you must have family saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. We didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're starting to have the conversation and really develop a business plan and a strategy that really addresses this concern in a much larger fashion. I think, you know, while food banks and pantries and emergency feeding centers throughout the state may have gluten-free products, we don't necessarily have one place where they can go.
Right.
And we need to really address that shift in the, so you know, not only the health, I mean, we certainly, you'll see things like low sugar things for diabetics.
Right.
You know, there are many, many, many health issues that need to be addressed. But certainly this one not only affects adults across the state, but really relates to a core strategy and mission for the food bank, which has been our attention, you know, to children and the necessity for us to reach in a little deeper, a little wider in the breadth of what we do in order to get to them. Because as you and I know, children are not showing up at a food pantry by themselves.
Right. And, you know, your stats saying 1 in 5 of the people you help are children. 24% of your clients, community food bank clients, are children. And how do you reach some of the children in the schools, in the after school, in the summer? How do you address that?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's definitely, there's multi-channels to do that. But I
right.
think one of the biggest aspects of what we do is our kids cafe. And basically, we have a cafe for children to have dinner throughout the state. And these are cafes that address children who may either need or want dinner after school. And they're in recreation centers, in schools, in places of worship. They're in a variety of, or a myriad of milieu in order to address the fact that they're not having dinner. You know, the thing about the food bank is that people tend to think of us much more readily during the philanthropic calendar that's traditional for people who give, which is, you know, September to December.
Right.
But the need for children is in the summer, because in the summer, kids don't have breakfast and lunch at school. So it behooves us to really consider giving more, particularly if children are something that folks are really interested in helping, to do it during, you know, the anticipation of the summer. So the Kids Cafe is one way that we do that. So we have dinner for them, so at least families are rest assured that while they're in school, they get breakfast, lunch, and then dinner through us. The other way that we do children's work is through pediatric and mobile pantries and trying to get to places that give food and snacks in a manner in which they can receive more comfortably, you know, at parks and hospitals, you know, outside areas where they're going to go and play. So that's what where the pediatric pantries come into play. And then finally, the one of the larger programs, too, is the backpack program. We do family backpacks. So when kids finish school on Friday, we want to make sure that it carries to Monday. So we give kids backpacks that have some essential foods so that they can get them and their families through to the weekend. So I think there's a number of things that, you know, we do that are very visible in the state, and then, of course, things that are much more underground and subtle, because although those are the kids that we are outreaching to much more tangibly as a food bank, obviously we're affecting kids when an adult comes to any pantry or partner agency in the state to seek help. So, you know, on average, you know, we're seeing thousands and thousands of kids per day,
right,
that we help. And then, of course, the secondary help that we give through the folks that come through the partner agencies. And we know that the majority of those folks are families. And, you know, I think the challenging part of our work is that, you know, the folks that come to the pantries are only one faction of the folks that really do need the help.
And, you know, the other, that's what we're going to talk about also, because I see with the senior citizens, you know, and getting the help, and what we were talking about before, when you have all these other payments or and you don't have the money, but the seniors who have taxes and then maybe medical bills and all of a sudden can't afford food. It seems
that a lot
of seniors also are really struggling in the Garden State at this point.
They are. Not only are they limited by income and all of some of the other parameters that other folks are as well, but what ambulation is an issue for them.
Right. So how do you find them and reach them and help?
Exactly. So you've got, you know, folks in senior centers and our work with, you know, ARP and all of those kinds of things that we really try to reach them. But the hardest part for us is getting to the senior who it's snowing and they can't get out. You know, they can't get to a pantry. They can't even get to a mobile, you know,
right,
pantry that's moving around. And so there's lots and lots of work that and opportunities that need to be explored for that faction. And in the summer, they are also challenged by weather, being in the heat and so on. So, you know, our partnerships with, you know, Wakefern and some of the other players that we deal with to really encourage seniors to use their buying power through delivery methods and education. Because, you know, the food bank, while people think of us as a reaction to a problem, we really are creating a movement. And it's a movement around prevention and health and tips and education. That's really where we begin.
Right.
So if we can help seniors really understand, well, how do you get food when, you know, when you can't get out, you know, and educate them around, you know, the types of automation that is available to them, that's really an eye-opener. You know, we've spoken to seniors and say, do you know that supermarkets deliver on the computer? And, you know, these are things that are very commonplace to the average person, but for a senior citizen, you know, I mean, they don't even know that some of these things exist for them,
right,
and that they can utilize them. I mean, you know, a lot of these folks are still using snail mail and you know, have old phone systems and that kind of thing. So it's a matter of making that available to them either through a senior center or in their places of worship or, you know, avenues that they're going to address. Because the food bank may not always be the first person that any of these, you know, specific populations think of. But if we have a collective impact with their churches, with their trade associations, that's where we really create the biggest wake, if you would, in our work.
And Deborah, you know, it's very eye-opening for many of us listening to what you're talking about. And I know that you, your staff, your volunteers deal with this, you know, every single day. But to look at a state as wealthy as New Jersey and to see and hear these statistics of people who do not know what they're going to eat tonight, their children, their senior citizens. And yes, knowing that you deal with it every day in your staff, but does it still shock you in the Garden State that this is a major issue, this basic essential for citizens?
Well, it is shocking, particularly since we're in, you know, in a country where we think we're in one of the wealthiest, most capable country in the world, practically, that this would exist and that this is happening. And, you know, while New Jersey has 400,000 kids that we believe need our help, you know, there are roughly 15 million children across the United States that are in the same situation. So this is not just a local problem. It's
right.
Not a holiday problem. It's a 365-day-a-year problem. And people are definitely hungry for us to do more. I mean, you know, the food bank is one of the largest anti-hunger, anti-poverty, you know, movements in the state. And the challenging thing for us is that we're amongst many very good agencies that are doing very diligent grassroots work to turn things around. And I think the normal population is thinking, well, where is it best for me to focus my attention?
Absolutely, you know? Right.
Yeah, and, you know, my answer to that is that, you know, we're a basic need. There are things that one can do without, but you have to eat, you have to drink, in order to survive. And so that is something that, you know, that is very unique to the food bank. And secondly, you know, we are one of the very few charities that have such a reputation in terms of stewardship and philanthropic effect and outcome. What we do is very tangible, and people get to see it, they get to feel it, they get to know that if you give us a dollar, we can buy $10 worth of food and we can feed X amount of people. I mean, we delivered 44 million pounds of food to the state of New Jersey last year, which is a record for us.
Right.
That means something. That means, wow, 44 million pounds of food. That's not dollars. That's not some intangible notion. That's a real thing.
That's
food.
Truly making a difference. And
absolutely. And we're scratching the surface.
You're listening to At Central Jersey with Maggie Glynn. I would like to talk about your history a little bit, about how all of this started and grew from basically the founder's trunk to this organization that is just across the state right now and really trying to help, but also how much the problem has grown since the beginnings.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one of the, and I talk about this, and I know my predecessor, Kathleen DeChera, you know, we both in unity talk about the message that it takes one capable adult to do something wonderful, to pay it forward, and that power can happen with anyone. It happens when someone donates a turkey for a family for the holiday. It happens when an adolescent decides to give us his allowance for the week. It happens when someone thinks of us as a charitable institution and wants to give us a donation. So all of those things happen because one person makes that decision. And Kathleen was someone who noticed that people were hungry, and I'm sure that all of us can think of our communities and think of, hey, maybe the guy or the woman down the street got laid off. What's her life like? Maybe they need a bag of groceries. You know, someone's just moved in or had a new baby, and how is that affecting their life? And might they need a bag of groceries?
It's food is always good, Deborah. Food
exactly.
is always the key for everything.
It's the universal
yes.
gift. It's
it
the
is.
Universal gift.
I'm a big believer in that, yes.
Yeah, so every community has it, and I think Kathleen thought, hey, people need something. Let me put some stuff in my trunk and get it around. And so that's how it started. It was a small vision based on a small example in someone's community. And that's why we've kept our name as the Community Food Bank, because everything we do affects a community. And so although we've gone from the back of a trunk to a multi-million dollar operation of, you know, 8 football fields filled with food in just one location.
And communities across the state, north to south, east to west.
You cover
the whole state, every community.
Right. Exactly. So I think based on those, you know, variables, I really do want to say that, you know, it can really happen anywhere. So, you know, it went from a small vision from a trunk to like just a block to now, you know, the full state and how the state helps us as a collective, you know, a collective community make that difference. And then, you know, my perspective was different than Kathleen's. I mean, Kathleen saw a need and responded. I was the kid that was hungry in the shelter. You know, I was the kid in foster care that came up on the other side of the tracks and got to see hunger, poverty from a very different vantage point. You know, I grew up in the poorest urban county of the United States, which is one of the boroughs of New York City in the Bronx. And from that vantage point, I got to see the world very differently.
And is this, Deborah, what made you decide to make this your life's mission, making a difference for other people who might be experiencing similar?
It was. I mean, I think that all children or even young adults start to look at their parents, right, as their mentors for making decisions about what they might want to do. I mean, we see generations of doctors and lawyers and teachers, you know, because my mom was a teacher and I got inspired, et cetera. Well, my parents were social workers, you know, not my literal biological parents, but my parents in the foster care world. You know, those were the people who cared for me and took care of me as I grew. And, you know, it made sense to me that my life's work needed to be to give back to others the way that I was so freely given. And I made a decision very early on that I was going to do what they had done for me. And so it became my life's work. So this isn't, and I'm sure for Kathleen, I can speak for her as well, but I think both of us decided that this wasn't necessarily a job, but this was going to be our vocation, our life's work. I don't just do my work at the community food bank from 9 to 5.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm sure it's not a 9 to 5 job. It's definitely a calling more than than employment at this point.
Absolutely. So, you know, everywhere I go, I'm talking about these issues in my personal life and my professional life. This is obviously something that weaves into my personal narrative. And certainly I know it was woven into the narrative that Kathleen used as a seed to spring this whole thing forward. So I think that, you know, I'm fortunate to be the second CEO in the agency's history. And I think that there's a great deal of congruence in terms of our vision, in terms of the important calling that we have to do more, because people are hungry for us to do more. Children are certainly hungry for us to do more, and that's certainly a priority for us as an organization. And, you know,
and there is a lot of work to be done, a lot of work.
Oh, there really, really is.
Every day you're doing a lot of work. Now, I know that you do have a lot of volunteers, and if you, you know, want to put the word out for volunteers, for money, for what does the Community Food Bank of New Jersey, who really does cover the whole state, what do you really need from people at this point?
I think there are three things. I mean, certainly, you know, volunteering is a really wonderful way of providing the help that we need, but also getting a real feel for what this work is like on a day-to-day basis. And if anyone is considering that, they will be joining 40,000 volunteers from last year. 40,000 volunteers walked through our doors last year to help in our mission to fight hunger. So that's a significant...
That's an amazing amount of people, Deborah.
I know.
40,000 people.
I
mean, that also... really expands how much work you're doing, you know, that many volunteers are part of this. That's a pretty amazing operation.
Yeah, it is. It's very impressive that folks are so committed to our mission. And it's not just individuals and families. We also have family days, so people could come with younger children. But we also have, you know, thousands of companies that come in here to volunteer. And, you know, the interesting thing about the food bank, to give you a sense of the scope and the size, is that we can accommodate hundreds of volunteers per day. I mean,
wow.
You know, sometimes during the holiday season, we'll have 400, 500 volunteers in here doing the very necessary work. So that's one way people can get involved. I mean, the second way, of course, is monetary donations. And, you know, the reason that we talk about financial giving and philanthropic attention to the food bank's work is that food is a 365, hunger is a 365-day-a-year problem, and we want to spread those dollars during what we call food desert periods, the summer, after the holiday, when people are going back to their regular world and life and are not thinking necessarily, I want to donate a turkey this week.
Right.
We have to remember that people still need that.
Right. They still need to eat. They still, even though it's not a holiday.
Exactly. So we try to spread out the love, you know, throughout the year. You know, that's a really important aspect of you know, of what we do. And I think the last thing is that, you know, people can do things right at home, right in their communities. They can do food drives within their families. They can have dinners at their home and invite us to come in and perhaps bring some guests so that we can talk about the food bank's mission and how they can help.
That's
and,
a great
you know,
idea.
Doing doing some very localized things.
It's like the old rent parties, except now
exactly.
It's a food party.
Exactly. And, you know, what people always say is like, you know, if I'm giving you $10 towards the food bank, how does it help my local community? Well, it does, because our partner agencies are all over the state. So the chances are that your local church, your local synagogue, your local food pantry is connected to the food bank, because we're the ones who stock their shelves.
Right.
And so, you know, if you give to us, we can certainly give that local presence what they need. That's how we keep it going. You know, I mean, we don't have the name food bank by accident. You know, we're sort of the head, you know, Federal Reserve. We have all the food and we give it out to all the local banks.
Right.
That you get to see in the community every day. The difference that, or the impact that we have that's perhaps different than perhaps a local community provider is that we get to buy food in bulk. So for every dollar you give us, we can buy $10 worth of food, which is an astounding difference from, you know, just the average consumer. So that, you know, helps. And then, of course, you can get involved in the community level or even at the food bank, seeing how that dollar comes to life.
And how can people go about, if people are listening and they say, you know what, I really do want to be part of this. I either want to contribute, I want to volunteer, I want to try and make a difference. How can they reach out to you and try and be part of helping the community food bank?
Well, I think the best and easiest way, obviously, is to go to our website, which is www.cfbnj.org, and there is a donate button there. People can become recurring donors for us over the course of the year. There are toolkits on the website that will help you in your communities. There are events that are listed there that will tell you where and what we're doing. And then if you don't have access to a computer or a way to do that, you can certainly call us, and we would be happy to guide you through a process that could, you know, lend you to donating, having you visit. And our main number, of course, is 908-353-3663. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 908-355-3663. This is what happens when you get older and I can't see things.
Well, and I'm not going to comment on that because I'm right in the same boat with you, Deborah. So let's float on a river of denial about that. Why don't we?
I know it.
Well, I'm so glad that you could be part of At Central Jersey and share the information about the community food bank and how people can get involved and make a difference and help you know, make a difference the way you do every day.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for helping to be an ambassador for that voice. I appreciate it.
Happy to help out. Deborah Vizzi, the president and CEO of Community Food Bank of New Jersey, thank you so much for being part of At Central Jersey. Missed a show? Listen online or download episodes at magic983.com.